We can just pray right now for the Vargas family in Bolivia. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to hear an update from Shirley and bringing her to us. As her time here is spent with family, we just pray for Alex and his upcoming eye surgery. We just pray that you be with the hands of the surgeons as they proceed in a delicate area of our bodies, and that we pray for a quick and effective recovery. We pray as he's also working hard at finishing his studies so that his full attention can be done with recovering from this surgery. We thank you for the technology and the amazing things that we are blessed by and able to do. So we pray for that surgery at this time, and for Shirley and Carlos in their ministry in Roca. We thank you for just the amazing ministry and outreach that they have to the people in Bolivia, a country that is very different from our own country in the things that we are accustomed to here. We pray for the families that they touch and their lives that come there to experience and hear more about Christ and to strengthen their relationship with him, as well as the outreach they have to their own community, to non-believers, for the communities and groups that host different evenings, and the opportunity for people to just express what is on their heart and give Shirley and Carlos an opportunity to make it a stronger connection to the God that we believe in. So we pray for them at this time. Bless their work. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, in the very brief amount of time that we have left, it's Mission Sunday, so we'd like to just give a little update, perhaps, and get us thinking about, we've heard about missions happening abroad and missionaries that we support, but getting us to think about what's happening right here in our own community. I was really moved by last week. I'm just going to basically reread a portion of scripture that we heard from last week from Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent, profitable, and profitable for everyone. I was really moved by the sharing of that verse by Dan last week, and thinking about the good works that Christians are asked to be participating in. And I was, in light to that, I was wanting to make yourself familiar with a picture that I'm pretty sure almost every single one of you are very familiar with. Is this on? Could you maybe move the slide ahead once? There we go. You're all familiar with that picture. You see it every single week on your bulletin. And it's basically an expression of, or in four words, expresses who we are or what we're all about here at Westminster Bible Chapel. Worship, fellowship, evangelism, and service. And I would say we've got the first two very well, but I think we're challenged as a church body in the areas of evangelism and service. I think it's been about 10 years since we did something like a Christianity Explored program as a church body, because, well, that involves work. That involves dedication and service of a lot of people at the church, and we haven't been engaged in that sort of evangelism for quite a long time. Not to say that we don't have evangelists here at our own church. Now, I know that there's a generation of people for whom being an evangelist in your own city meant something like going to a popular street corner, getting on like a soapbox, and telling other people about Jesus or about God. I grew up with the people who are older than me and my Sunday school teachers. That's the type of evangelism that they were used to doing. Now, if I ask us to start doing that on a Sunday afternoon after church, I know for a fact that we would not get a lot of people signing up. That's an uncomfortable way of evangelizing here in North America in our local community. And it would make and challenge many Christians to engage in that sort of evangelism. Not to say that that's not very ineffective. We have an evangelist here who most of you all know very, very well. His name is Jonathan Martin. About a month ago to this day, Jonathan skipped his work and chose to go to the local Safeway and IHOP and Starbucks and start to tell other people about God. He wanted to ask people questions. And if you know Jonathan, you can imagine what that would have looked like. He asked questions like, do you know God? Do you know about Jesus? That did get him into a little bit of trouble, as the store security quickly called, figured out that he was supposed to be at work and supposed to be on a SkyTrain after a conversation with Sarah Martin, and put him back on the right direction. After talking to Jonathan about it afterwards, I actually remembered that almost 2 weeks before he got himself into that little bit of trouble, he had had a conversation with me telling me about how he needs my help, and perhaps he even asked you of this, how he needs my help or your help to go out to Graham Park and make sure that other people know about God. I was completely moved by that conversation and by hearing about Randall's fact that when he goes for his weekly swims and he's sitting in the hot tub, there is not one person in that hot tub who leaves without knowing that Jonathan is a Christian and a follower of God. That type of evangelism, that boldness, moved and challenged me and actually tore my right to the core of my heart. Because there is a young man who is not afraid to evangelize, not afraid of what other people are going to think, and not even afraid of getting into a little bit of trouble, even though he probably doesn't quite understand what type of trouble that would look like. Evangelism and service. What we hear about and understand is that to effectively evangelize in our area, our North American culture, with people who are engaged in all sorts of activities at all sorts of times in their points of lives, that service is important. The service that we can engage ourselves in, whether that be directly work-related, or that be the things that we as a church decide to participate in as a group, is very important. Because it's through our service that we can build relationships with other people, and that they will see and understand what we're all about, just like we sang about. They'll know our Christians by our love. So the work of an evangelist requires works of service. So that requires that we need to sometimes pick up our socks, put aside things that might get in our way, and come together as a community to engage in acts of service. If you look at your report that some of you are using to fan yourselves with, because it is very warm in here, when I was reading Bert's NAST report about what he's doing in Africa, I mean, Bert has a family. He's raising a family. He's a full-time evangelist in a country of Africa. Yet there's a point there that says he spends 10 hours a week volunteering at a kids' camp. And it says in there that he's doing that to build relationships. He's doing that to build relationships. 10 hours of his weekly time. He is no busier than any of us here. He has a family, yet 10 hours of his week he is devoting to this kids program, and he's doing it primarily to build relationships with people, because through those relationships he will be able to tell others about Jesus and tell others about God. We have an opportunity and a new type of service here at Westminster. About 6 weeks ago, maybe even longer than that, we started planting seeds in our community garden that's located in Goodland. Goodland is about a 3-minute drive from here. It takes 3 minutes to drive from here. As you know, it's been pretty hot, very, very warm. And right now I think our garden looks something like that. That was maybe a few weeks ago. It's definitely growing a lot since then. We've had a sign-up sheet out on the back for watering that garden. Watering that garden when you're here on a Sunday morning takes a grand total of 15 minutes. That's round trip. 15 minutes to go from here, water that garden, and come back here. It takes 15 minutes. We have one person signed up on that sheet to garden right now. What's happening with that food that's going to come from that garden? So that garden is going to grow food, and it's definitely coming around to the time where some of the things that we first planted can be harvested. Down the street on 6th Avenue, there's a group called Quest Foods. Quest Foods, to shop at Quest, you have to be a person of low income. So you have to be pretty close to the poverty line. And what Quest Food does is they, like many other organizations, they get donations of food, but quality food, to be sold to people at a below market rate. And one of the hard things that they have getting is fresh vegetables, good vegetables. So we have the opportunity to not only grow a garden, but to take the produce of that garden and donate to an organization that is in the work and in the ministry of providing food to those with low incomes. That's a difficult ministry to be into, but we can do that just by getting more volunteers to help out in this garden. And I am not a gardener by any means. It's taken other people's efforts to help make sure that those seeds and things are planted properly. So but we need people to help harvest. We need people to help grow this garden, to be able to take the produce from the garden and go down the street to Quest and donate it, properly donate it to them. And that produce will be sold at a very affordable rate for people who usually cannot afford fresh fruits and vegetables. So there's an opportunity for service. And what can happen as a result of that is the people that I've already told outside of this community here are actually cut to the throat. These are non-Christians who can't believe that people would take a community garden and use it for that purpose. It doesn't make sense to them because all the other 12 plots in that garden are all being used for people's personal use. Colossians 3:17, which are a verse that you're all familiar with. Whatever you do, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. As a community here at Westminster, we have great opportunities to be engaged in service to others, helping others hear and know more about God. Whether it's taking an extra time, a little bit of time out of your day to get to know someone at your workplace who you know is a non-believer, telling them about a little bit about what your life and perhaps what you do, sharing what you did on the weekend, just telling a person that I spent Sunday morning at church, opens up unique doors. When people in a very non-believing and a very non-church culture that we sometimes have here at West and in the Lower Mainland, where people put many other things that are prioritized in front of being part of a church community, which is very, very important. Just doing those simple things can bring others to hear more about God and more about Jesus. Understanding that it takes time to build relationships with people. Investing that time in others who are non-believers or who need to become who need to have time coming alongside of them. And the way that I was challenged with this is, well, how much time am I willing to invest in someone? What is the benchmark? How much time should I invest in someone who isn't opening themselves up to hearing about the gospel? Well, a few weeks ago, I sort of got, just through some casual conversations, I realized that there's a good answer to that comes from the Bible. And it challenged again me very personally. So a few weeks ago, a group of us here at Westminster went up to SFU and served food to international students. And I have to tell you, again, where I was moved through that service. Not just by seeing the amount of food that we had and how well that was received, but the fellowship and the meaningful conversations I had with people who are international students who are very far away from their family. So the essence of what family love and caring is about is something that they are missing in their lives. And to see and hear and have open conversations because they knew that this is a Christian event, to see how many people regularly come and regularly look forward to it was very important. The number of people in that day, 6 people asked me if I was a Christian, bold playing during the dinner time. 6 different people asked me if I was a Christian. A complete stranger, their second or third question to me was, am I a Christian? And that moved me. And are hearing about what they need, and to Steve Scott, some of these people don't know what church life is like. They need to have a church come alongside of them. Sometimes that means transportation. And then I thought to myself, when I was thinking, how much time did Jesus invest in his disciples while he was on earth? It was 3 years. Jesus invested 3 years of his life to come alongside of the disciples and teach them. So that said to me, you know, am I willing to take a person who's going to be here for 3 years of their lives at SFU, minimum, take 3 years of my life and come alongside of them and be there and support them in their walks and ups and downs in life and build them up in their relationship and hopefully even have them come to trust in Jesus? So that's the challenge that we leave before you. Thank you for Shirley and hearing about our missionaries abroad, and now we have the challenge here to be engaged in acts of service that will help us evangelize to our local community.